Thank you. Okay, so while my presentation is loading, I just want to let you know the PMP data set is available on lawatlas.org. It's a very robust data set, so there's more data available than we can display. So check out the data page until we can get all the data up on lawatlas.org. And the HIV data set for statutes will be up on Friday. And today I'll talk about the youth TBI update that we did that will also be up on Friday. So if you go on today and you're like, this doesn't look like it's updated, it will be on Friday. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about the kind of rapid evolution and implementation of youth sports TBI laws. I have no relationships to disclose. So this data set came about because we had a grantee, Professor Harvey at Temple, who created an original TBI data set using Access. So we said, can we take this data set and use it in our new Law Atlas program? So what I'm going to report on today is the work that he did along with the updates that we've done in Law Atlas. So some of the research that he's done will be coming out into a law review, but it's also in the American Journal of Public Health. So I encourage you to check that out. All right, so what is it? A traumatic brain injury is an injury caused by a blow to the head or a rapid acceleration or deceleration forces. The symptoms include mild headaches, memory loss, decreased level of consciousness, neuropsychological abnormalities, and death. And one of the biggest concerns is really the re-injury that might result from the second impact syndrome, which can have the serious health consequences. Okay, so as we know, a TBI can result from many different activities. However, sports activities cause an estimated 20% of TBI in youth and young adults. It's estimated that there are 300,000 TBIs each year, and that the number is increasing. And we don't know whether this number is increasing because there's increased awareness or there's actually a rise in the injury rate. And this is because there's no definitive kind of comprehensive tracking method. This is a picture of two of the youth sports that have some of the highest incidence of TBIs, so boys high school football and girls high school soccer. So TBI injuries among professional and former professional athletes have been in the news for decades, and there's a prominent headline story each year and sometimes each week. The National Football League and the National Hockey League have applied several strategies to reduce injuries. So they have new rules, new policies, new equipment. The National Collegiate Athletic Association and Pop Warner have also created new standards and guidelines to reduce injury. For the youth TBI law that I'm going to talk about today, though, the driver of the proliferation of these laws is really a young man named Zachary Lysted. He was a middle school football player, and after he hit his head hard during a tackle during a game, he was removed from the game, but he shortly returned to the game. At the end of the game, he was walking to his with his father, and he complained of a headache and eventually passed out before reaching the car. His neurosurgeon believes that his serious injury is actually a result of his return to play injury. So the picture is of him in 2006 when he was a middle school football player, and the other picture is from 2012 where he is on physical therapy. He had to regain the ability. He had to learn how to speak and to use all motor skills as a result of this TBI. So public attention and support for Zach's recovery led to Washington becoming the first state to pass legislation that was aimed at reducing TBI. The core elements of the law include annual education of athletes and parents, mandatory removal from play of athletes that are suspected of having a TBI, and clearance by a designated health professional before the athlete returns to play. So in Professor Harvey's article, he analyzes the aggregate of laws that have been adopted from 2009 to 2012. But in Law Atlas, you can use our time slider to actually see what the law was like per year. And we'll continue to update these as things change. So what has happened in TBI law? These maps display the states that have adopted a law. It doesn't speak to the strength of the law or the features of the law or whether the state has made an amendment to the law. But in 2009, there were 3 states that had a youth TBI law. In 2010, there were 9. 2011, we have 31 states in the District of Columbia. And in 2012, there are 41 states in the District of Columbia. So what's happening today? Today, there are 48 states in the District of Columbia that have laws in effect that are aimed at reducing youth sports TBI. Tennessee does have a law. It will go into effect on January 1st, 2014. There have been several bills that have been introduced in Mississippi, but none have been passed. So on Friday, on Law Atlas, you can see whether a state law has the following dimensions. So removal from play, parental notification, additional training for coaches, distribution of an information sheet, and liability. Each of those areas may also have conditional questions that we've asked. But in this presentation, I'm just going to kind of review what states have at least applied the core elements of the Livestead Law. So annual education for parents. We asked, does the state youth sports TBI law explicitly require distribution of some form of TBI information sheet? As you can see, of the states that have a law, we did lose a few, as only 40 states in D.C. actually require a distribution of an information sheet. We asked whether or not that information sheet would need to be signed by a parent acknowledging that they've read the sheet, and we lose even more states, so 29 states and the District of Columbia. On the aspect of removal from play, we asked, does the state law require an athlete with a suspected TBI to be removed from play? Now, this would seem obvious. If you're going to have a TBI law, might want to address whether the person who has a TBI should be removed from play. But if we exclude Mississippi and Tennessee that do not have a law in effect, we still find that 3 states, Maine, Indiana, and Wyoming, do not actually have anything explicit in their law that's requiring the athlete who's suspected of having a TBI to be removed from play. So what about the return to play and the clearance by the health professional? So we asked, does the state law specify requirements for when an athlete may return to play? And we also asked, is this clearance from a health professional necessary for an athlete to return to play? And it's not surprising, it's the same states, so it's Maine, Indiana, Wyoming that do not have this requirement. Oop, sorry. Illinois, is that Illinois? Oh, sorry, Illinois. Excuse me. I know. I've never been to the Midwest. Sorry. I apologize. So we did ask further. We asked further questions about the clearance by a health professional. So we asked whether the health professional needs to be trained in TBI management. And only 32 states say that you need to be trained in TBI management to actually clear a student to return to play. And then we've asked further, does this clearance need to be provided by a medical doctor? So you can see that some of the states that said you don't need to be trained in TBI management say, but you know, a doctor can make that decision. Some states require both that you be a doctor and that you be trained in TBI management. All right. So before I talk about whether do these laws just kind of make us feel good or are they actually doing good, I do want to go back and kind of display a little bit of Law Atlas workbench. So this is not all the states, as you can see, but in the workbench is if a state has made any change to their law since enactment, we will capture that information. So it could be whether they've added a new section or an amendment. It could be even a technical change. It could be the addition of keywords. We found with TBI that 12 states have added sections or amendments to their law since the enactment. For our coding purposes and our questions, we've only found that a Kentucky amendment is the one that has resulted in answers to our coding questions. So you can see that an answer that was no became yes twice in this data for Kentucky. One thing we've learned is that when you're using the time slider in Law Atlas, if you say, does Kentucky require an information sheet in 2012, the system says yes and no. And that's because yes after May they did, no before May they did not. So we are working on how to accurately display changes that happen mid-year. Okay, so does this just make us feel good, or do these laws actually do good? Well, we know that the states have responded to increasing public awareness of youth sports TBI by passing legislation, so that seems good. But what do we actually know about the elements that are part of the Lystedt law? So annual education, we know 40 states have education components to their law. However, there's wide variance in implementation and standardization of materials. So what type of education are parents receiving? The return to play element, there's actually no evidence on the optimal timing for an athlete to return to play. There has been an NCAA study that says that 24 hours to 7 days. However, will that study apply to youth athletes? High school boys football, they often play both ways. So your star running back, score the touchdown, hit his head, come out of the game, couple special teams plays, and then be right back in there playing defense. That doesn't really happen on the college level or even the NFL level, so we know that more research needs to be conducted for high school athletes. What about clearance by a health professional? So state laws also really diverge on who is qualified to provide the clearance. Do athletic trainers have a conflict of interest? Does the coach have a conflict of interest? And is really a medical doctor the one who's best equipped to make the decision? Will TBI-specific training lead to the best qualifications for return to play? So what do we think is next? So there's no scientific consensus that youth concussions vary, or there is scientific consensus that concussions can vary on the basis of sport, age, and sex. So there could be value in law that is more tailored to sport-specific guidelines or regulations or prohibiting certain maneuvers or contact. So we could have laws that are directed at cheerleaders, maybe at soccer players, at football players. We also know that none of the laws explicitly require the collection of any youth TBI activity for the whole state or even for the school district or even the individual level. So how are we going to determine what the baseline is of TBIs if we have no data to do that? We know that TBI laws are part of like a larger comprehensive prevention framework. So we might see more non-legal interventions. And this could be change of rules and the use of different technologies. So these laws are the beginning of the process of the development of interventions to reduce TBIs. It's really unknown whether these laws are going to substantially reduce TBIs in youth sports. So our goal by using Law Atlas is to preserve the changes in the law and provide comprehensive data sets that can really key in on the features of the law and allow the rigorous evaluation and effectiveness of legal approaches. So if you have any questions about this topic area, about Law Atlas, I would ask myself, and you can also email Professor Harvey about youth sports TBI.
We have 5 minutes left for questions.
For any.
Any final questions? Amigo or any of the other panels?
On the TBI issue, what about enforcement of your laws? Is there any, has there been any case fraud or any issues from that actually come to hospital? The first coaches?
I'm not sure about any cases. I know that some states have specific information in the statute about liability, so they will shield the coaches or the person who's providing the clearance from liability.
Any last questions? I'd like to give a final round of applause for all of you.